Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
And he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. He's talking about Jesus here. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence are this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty words are wrought by his hands?" Kabutim. Is it not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Serious. So the reason why they were asking all the questions about, the reason why they were astonished and they were questioning his authority of ministry was because he was a carpenter's son. May God help us. Sometimes some people can look down on you because of your source. Mary's son. This is his hometown. Yes, we were there. Let's continue. It is normal. I'm not taking personal. The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. So these are the siblings. So you can see from here, these are the siblings. And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. I said, "Whoa." Let's continue verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Let's take verse 5 and 6. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because Jesus was marveled. They were astonished and Jesus was marveled. If you have your Bible with you and you can do me the honor, I want you to underline the word. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. This is our first reading. I hope my second reading is ready to project it, because I gave it to you in a particular version. But we will take that later in the course of our discussion. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you for this morning. We commit today's service into your care. We pray that you minister to us. Oh, surely divine, I'm just a vessel. I come before you and I plead mercy, Lord, that I'll be in alignment to download exactly what you want to give these people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, for the benefit of those who have not been with us for the past 2 weeks, this year in Accra, our pursuit is establishing kingdom, apostolic governance, and then not dominion on a solid foundation. And our whole focus is that we want to deal with matters of foundation with regards to dominion. In our first meeting, we looked at what foundation is about. We look at certain nature of foundation and the constituent of the believer's foundation. We found that one nature of foundation, and foundation is the first thing. Foundation is not sin. And we also found out that this God we are serving, or this God we know, is mindful of foundation, and everything that is involved in this foundation. He called Job to before the council of him, Lord, to question him his reason for accusing him. And one of the things God has said that, where were you when I was even laying the foundations of it? You have no sight of it. So who are you to hold me accountable for certain things? If you can answer this, how I laid the foundation of it, then you have a justified reason to speak to me. And we found out in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that even our Christian life, the Christian life you have, has a foundation. And the foundation is with Jesus Christ. And that is what we are doing in the solid foundation. Not to end in the church.
which is the epicenter and the ambassador or the place which the kingdom activities is being carried out on this earth. Because Jesus said, I will build the church to foster my activities, and that the gate of hell cannot have a stand against it. So even the church has a foundation. In the book of Ephesians 2:20, the Bible says that the church is built upon the apostolic and the prophetic. And I told you one thing, and I'll keep repeating it. Paul said, we are confident of one thing, that he that has what began. So I was saying that, be very careful what you are doing. Find out if you started with it, because God is very patient to wait for you to finish what you want to do. Then you start the writing, which he wants to start with you, because he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. So God is very mindful of foundation. So if our Christian life has a foundation, if our, even the body of Christ, the church, has a foundation, then it means that everything pertaining to the kingdom has foundation. And we found out in the first service that foundation is a pattern that influences every reality on earth. So if you find yourself in a jurisdiction, what do you need to know? What, if you want to fight what is the cause of activities over there, seek the foundation and change the foundation, and the rest of the things will align. Because every structure is determined by foundation. Let me tell you one thing. The kind of corrupt world we have right now didn't start just on a vacuum. No. Some people pay the price to lay foundations. I don't want to enter into our secular music. I'm not going to mention it. But let me tell you, these kinds of guys who are seeing right now doing all this, they didn't start it. There are foundations that people have laid for them to rise up. So we are with a God who is mindful of foundation. And we found out that the constituent of the believer's foundation is made up of three things, which is the belief system, the value system, and the worldview. So last week we started to explore the belief system. I hope we are following. I'm just trying to do a recap for the purposes of those who join us today, so that you know where we are heading. Now, we found out that the belief system is defined as the mental acceptance of anything you think is true. We also found out that when we talk of belief, belief has three progressive of what? Development. We have what is called as opinion. And remember the example I gave, that a lady can just be there, we started with what? Suspicion. A lady can be there and then will just think, just suspect somebody, that also from this lady can, this other lady can do something to my boyfriend, and that's a belief. There's nothing you can say to change your mind as long as you have a suspicion. So we have to break up what we suspect, whether we are suspecting the right thing concerning our Christian faith. We found out that it can move to what we call opinion. Opinion can become a belief. So what you think, opinion can become a belief. And tell you, we live in a country which is ruled by opinions. Everybody is right in Ghana. Everybody is right. You see what they done to Coach Milo? Everybody is a coach in the country. Everybody has the way blaster should be managed. God help us. Thank you. The third thing is conviction. And I said the dangerous or the most dangerous aspect of belief is when it transits from cross-vision through opinion and now becomes a conviction. It is a danger. Now, conviction is what bears out knowledge that becomes doctrine. So when somebody is convicted that this is how things should be done, it makes it a doctrine. And they begin to teach people. And this is a damage that has been done in the body of Christ. Because people have built their Christian life on opinion. And this opinion went on to become a conviction. And now they have made it a theory. So we have to be very careful the processes we go through in our belief system. Then we find out about how belief is acquired. There's two ways. Number one, by what people tell us as true. So when we were born again, there are many things that, and that is the system. And you find out that one of the procedures to build people in terms of belief is doctrine. And doctrine is what we teach you, what we tell you. So what people have been telling you is what you have held on as your belief. When you were born, you didn't know a lot of things. And for that one, somebody taught you. So you find out that we are living in a world where people are saying a lot of things. Which one is true? Because the data is that what influences our belief system is our subconscious brain. Whatever enters there, that's it filter it. And it begins to affect your decision making. So we must be very careful the things we hear. We are not fighting you not to listen to secular music because of anything. No. We are just helping you, your belief system. We are not fighting you not to follow certain people, not because we hate them. No. It is because we want you to have the right feed. I gave an example that the difference between two children who have grown up is because of what they were told when they were young. The next thing is experience. What we experience in life also becomes or affects, it becomes the source of what we hold on as our belief. So there are people who believe that all men are wicked. There are people who believe that marriage is evil because of experience. There's nothing you can do about that. It takes God to help them. Belief that comes as a product of experience is that's where conviction comes from. When we tell you, it comes opinion. But when you experience, it comes conviction. So we look into this as well. We know that the purpose of belief is to carry your decision and how you see things. That is what we did last week. We are still on the introduction to belief. Today, we are looking at other aspects that is very key to what we want to pursue. From our scripture reference, I ask you to underline a word. Now, the first thing I want to let you know that for us to appreciate our discourse or what we are learning this year in regards to the first material foundation, belief, then we have to see the other side. Now, one thing you have to understand that in this world, there's nothing like a vacuum. Everything God created has another side. When God created light, there was what? When He created air, there was what? God told Noah that as long as the earth remains, what? Seed time and not the opposite of seed. So what it means that as long as we are living on this earth, at every given instant, something is having effects. There is no way you can be a neutral person. No. There is nothing neutral in this world. At every given instant, something is dominating. So, anytime we are talking about belief and there is no belief, that there is something over there. So, what is the other side of belief? There are two things we are going to look at today. We'll deal with one because of time factor. The first thing we need to establish today is that there are two other sides of belief. When somebody is not a believer or doesn't have a belief system, then the person is having what you call number one, unbelief. Unbelief by scripture is also called hardened hearts. You might have heard this word before, hardened hearts. It's also the same as unbelief. The second one is false belief, which scriptures also identify as what? Error. The word error. I hope you're writing something down. So it's either you are in belief or you are in unbelief or false belief. There's no marking in this world. So we are going to examine what? For us to know what belief is, then we have to look at the other side of it. Then we can now know what we are pursuing. So today we will deal with one of the aspects called unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Stay with me. These two things I've mentioned are very critical to our Christian belief. And by the close of today, you will understand why certain things are happening to certain people in the churches in these things. Because we didn't take it. Whenever foundation is trivialized, the structure is in trouble. Whether a building will collapse or not is based on Jesus said, "He that heareth my word, and these very words I teach you, do them, he is like what? A wise builder. Who builds or not? Not he's talking about on rock." Now the thing is that one who here didn't do it, and the one who here did it, there is three things that come to all of them. See, God will not exempt you from troubles. Bible says that for perilous times shall come. He didn't say you shall escape them. What will keep you moving is because you have a strong foundation. The reason why the average believer has become so hardened in heart is because issues of foundation were taken for granted. But I want you to put your hand on your chest in the next 1 minute and begin to pray. That Lord, help me. Help me. To want to pray for mercy. The systems of this world are being so tough now that the average believer is struggling to be faithful in his calling. But we want to pray the Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Vendekabalaba. Shodekaba. In the name of Jesus. Now, let's start. Let's do a definition of the term unbelief. I've already explained to you, when we say the word unbelief, it also means what? A hardened heart or disbelief. I know that in English, when you say the word dis or un, it means the negative of what? Another word. I hope you know that. Yeah. So, in the dictionary, unbelief is defined as unpreparedness, comma, unwillingness or inability to believe that something is the case. To believe that something is the case or the truth. That is the first definition. Another definition I found is that unbelief means discontinue of belief. Discontinue of belief. And from the dictionary, religious definition of unbelief, the dictionary gave us the definition of unbelief, the religious definition of unbelief. He says that it's the absence or rejection of belief. Absence or belief. So when there is no belief there, although you reject belief, then it's known as unbelief. Happiness. Now, before I dive into the aspect of unbelief with regards to believers, do you know that what motivates people who are not of the kingdom to fight us is unbelief? Do you know that? Let's look at the scripture again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Let's listen to what Paul said. I hope you know Apostle Paul. Very wonderful man. Are we there? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. I hope you are following.
Yes.
Okay. First Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? So now Paul was talking about when he was not born again. He said he was what? Number one, a blasphemer. Number two, a persecutor. Number three, an injurious. Hey, and the guy has a lot of credibility. Not only was he a blasphemer who speak ill and speak bad about God and the things of the kingdom, he went ahead to persecute. He didn't end there. He decided to make sure he caused injury. See, there are different forms of persecution. Paul is telling us that there are persecutions that are not that do not bring, but his passion was to make sure that there is something that he ministered to call pain. That is it. Our master in China says, his name is Mabraham. Paul's persecution is to make sure that there is a pain that is inflicted to you because you're a believer. You understand, when he was not born again, this is his precious.
his credibility. He said, now this was it, but I am purpose because I did it ignorantly and not. So if people can go to the extent of killing Christians, the reason why they are able to do that because there's the motivation of belief. So the matter we are talking about here is not a joke. Something that can motivate people to become jihadists and go after Christians, and if it is found in you as a believer, it's a serious matter. Paul said, I became a persecutor of the body of Christ because I had something in me called unbelief. That was proceeding. What was driving him was unbelief. He rejected the belief. He had unwillingness to accept a truth. So unbelief is the reason why those who don't believe in the things of God will fight you. And that's why you have to pray for them, that God will help their belief. There was a man who came to Jesus, and he, before he met Jesus, he presented a case to the disciples. You remember last in the book of Luke? And Baba, when he presented a case to the disciples to deal with a matter, they couldn't do it. And they failed. But this time the disciples have already done the certain practicals. So I believe that when they saw the case, they thought, oh, but we have met this kind of case. But they didn't know that there are levels of things they have to do. Because God has, Jesus has already given them authority, and they are going to cast out demons. And they said that territorial powers, idol spirits, bowed before them. That was their testimony. In the following matter, when they came, they met a case where the child was with epilepsy. The Bible says that this thing throws him into fire. So he brought in the disciples, and scripture says that the man said, and your disciples failed. So when Jesus came, he said, do you believe that your shark? He said, oh, I believe, I tell my own belief. Something happened to him that even though Jesus is around, he said, I believe that you are him, but there is something. So unbelief is not just, it's a personality. The man said, I believe, but you have to have something that is at work within me. So if somebody can do something, there is something within that triggers that. Unbelief is not just a word, it's a spirit. And it has to go ahead. So that is what you have to do, because there's no vacuum in this world. So if you're not walking in the right belief, it means that something can take place. And every evening, that's why you have to be very sensitive to this. The Bible said that Jesus commanded that demon. Jesus saw that the man was having issues. He commanded that demon out of the disciples. The Bible said the disciples came to Jesus. This one, this kind, it goeth forth not except by us fasting. Now, you want to be a shepherd, God will cast out demon. Now, this one does not answer to a full stomach, it answers to an empty stomach. But the key word here is that the man had an experience with the disciple that he generated something in him. Though Jesus was there, he couldn't believe that it is possible. God will help us. Now, so when we say unbelief or hardened heart, what are the characteristics? What are the imprints to let you know that somebody is showing forth the signs of unbelief? Unbelief has imprints. It has certain things to give you clarity that now there's an unbeliever as well. Just as belief has reality, we're going to know it very soon. I can say that, okay, this is a believer. You can see unbelief too has a product to for you to test and know that yes, it is the number one. Anybody that is caught up in unbelief, one of the key things about them that they like testing God. Testing God. Now I think we have to do the second reading so that if you follow, Because the second reading is a very central key of what we want to do. Can you give me Hebrews chapter 3? That one I sent you. The same verse, right? Thank you. This is why the Holy Spirit says that so you can maintain all my scripture verses now at this same version for me. I like this version. The passage translation is very powerful. This is why the Holy Spirit says that if only you would listen to his voice this day, don't make him angry by what? Hardening your hearts like yours. So now he's giving us an example. People who did during the death of their rebellion, when they were tested in the wilderness. Continue. The day of forefathers tested me and tried my patience. Hardening hearts. Even though they saw thy miracles for 40 years, they still doubted me. Miracles do not come again. Be very careful. That is why we are having this kind of Christian faith. Christians who are being mesmerized by miracles. See, Moses divided the Red Sea before these people. He read manna from heaven. There was water coming out of rock. Still, they tested God. You don't know the power of unbelief. Hardened hearts. God, he took God 24 hours. If at least that great was to bring them out of Egypt, it took him 40 years to deal with an unbelief. 40 years. One of the things that believer must understand that as you are born again, one of the things you have to fight somebody. So he said, well, when we hear the voice of the Spirit, make sure that unbelief does not succeed. Because the voice of the Spirit does not tally with the things of this world. So there will be things that you begin to contrast and comparisons. But God is not patient with that. He said, they tried my patience. You see, unbelievers, you are pushing God. You are trying to test his patience. Let me tell you, there's a virtue God called anger. God took an answer. We will find out. When I'm like, you will know. This ignited my heart. Anger. Nothing provokes God than unbelief. See, you can do all your foolishness. God doesn't care. But the moment you begin to try God on the foundations of unbelief, you know that God can be angry. Listen to you. With that generation, and I said about them, they wonder in their hearts just like they do with their feet. Wandering hearts. Holy man. I'm talking about the interesting God. That I'm just reading. I'll deal with this scripture today. Wondering at a heart that is not still. But God said, be still and know. A heart that is not decisive. Today, God is strong. Tomorrow, God is not real because of something happened to you. Wondering at you are on the pathway to unbelief. Wandering their hearts just like they do with their feet, and they refuse to learn my ways. All these miracles, Jesus. It is only when we begin to learn the ways of the Lord. For there is a way of the Lord, and we need to choose that way. Generation of miracles who forsake the will of God. The Bible said, for the children of Israel, they knew the miracles of God. But Moses, he knew the ways of God. Miracles do not bring conviction. That is why I'm not going to force us to do miracles here. No. See, let me tell you. Don't think that there is no anointing upon our head to do them. We have been doing them. And that is our life. But we know that if I raise a dead body here, it can't convince you. Because the people of Israel on the desert, someone that was, you have not seen miracles. Did you see miracles?
Wait, what reality have you seen the sea parted before in our days? Have we ever enjoyed bread from heaven before? Yeah, the bakery of heaven. Angels have. We are talking about food from heaven. And yet, before standing A1 or RSR, they say, oh, Nipah. Yeah, just helping. There was a catering system in heaven that was producing naturally to them. They saw Pharaoh and his whole nation play by templates of God, including turning the water of Nile or the river of Nile into blood. Still, they didn't believe God. You think casting out headache and casting out witches and wizards will make you born again and believe God? I'm not going to wizard. I'll show you the way of the Lord and you will learn the ways of God. Let's continue. Let's go to verse 8:19. I'll come back to this scripture for time purpose. So I'm reading the first point now. Test God. I'll show how you test God. I'm going to show you. So God swore an oath. Seriously, God is one who said that they will never enter into his calming place of rest. I thought it's only demons that God didn't assign rest to until I found out this scripture. That people who don't believe can also be assigned or rest. They are not assigned rest. You will struggle in life. You will live to fulfill Psalm 127. You wake up early in the morning and sleep late at night, all to eat the bread of affliction. Because unbelief, God has sworn and told that people of that sort, they have no rest. He's coming rest to come. But Jesus called us unto us rest. Can this one unbelief can do to you? How many believers are wondering? Today, many Christians don't belong to a spiritual family house. Today, they see Pastor So. Tomorrow, they are seeing Pastor This. Wandering hearts has grown into what we call. You will know the consequences of unbelief. You will see it. We will get there. Because they disobeyed him, that it is clear that they could not enter. He said, when God swore the oath, now there is reality. Now, let me tell you, this book of Hebrews was not written to people who are not born again. It is for the Jews who became Christians. Paul was comparing and contrasting between the Old Testament and the New Testament and bringing the reality, the shadow out of God to the reality. So please, this is for us. It's not for them. It's for us. Verse 9 says, it is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance. Inheritance. Because they wrap their hearts in unbelief. How many Christians have been robbed of where God has destined them to because of unbelief? There is an inheritance in God, but because the heart of men have been wrapped in unbelief, they have never tasted it. Who told you that in this kingdom there's poverty? Who told you that you cannot become the president of Ghana? The reason why the church and the individual is not dominating the world is this one of the factors is this: the heart of being. We don't believe God. We are walking in unbelief. And you see when people are in unbelief, you see the things they do. Now these are signs. Number one, testing God. Matthew chapter 4 says that that's how put your Lord your first words to a test. You know how people test God. Give me some 78, verse 18 and 19. Let me show how people test God. Quickly. Next slide. How people test God? Psalm 78:8-10. Yea, they speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Give me the verse 18. That's the verse 18.
tempted God in their hearts. He started from where? So, the Bible Jesus said that what defiles a man is not that, but it's not that comes out. That I'm using. The temptation started from that. Now let's look at what they are talking about. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Or corrupt meat. Many believers are praying for breakthrough to meet their lust. You know what lust is? And desiring something out of boundary. Out of bounds for you. You know even your boundaries. In fact, if the reason why is anything that you desire from God to meet your lust is you are testing God. What have you been lasting after? And now you are making it a prayer topic. Don't be testing God. Wait, Master Samuel. No. I'm helping you today. Yes. What have you been lasting after? You know very well that place you are going, it is not God who has sent you, but you want to cross boundaries, and after that you come and ask God for grace. Men of God, we are suffering. Somebody wants you to bless their fornication for them. You know that this thing that we are stealing the government's money. But you want breakthrough over them. This kind of breakthrough is that. You see how they tempted God? By asking me for their last, not because you were hungry. Now you know what the last is for. If they speak against God, they said, can God finish the temple in the wilderness? You are reaching me yet? And that is why you went to the Jew man for power. Because you believe that God cannot make you a politician without. God cannot make you a politician in Ghana. That is why you had sex with a guy, because you know that God cannot let you marry him without him doing something with him. Your last. Last will let you pay any price for whatever you want. Life, last has no boundaries. Common great. Great. Certificates that can be caught by fire. You don't believe God. So because you failed the first step, and this is the life of the current believers, Christians. You see, when Pharaoh met Jacob, oh Jesus, he asked him a question. He said, how has your day been? He said, I'm a man whose life has been of sorrow, but God has kept me. Where is the testimony that this is the doing of the Lord if you don't go to transcendence? The average believer thinks that the tests and trials is a sign that God has not existed. They said it in their hearts. See, don't lie to God, because when you are praying, he sees your heart first. You don't know him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. But God is able to exceedingly and among the heart you cannot say or heart think. Even what you are thinking, God answers that prayer. You think you are smarter than God. You can't lie to God. The Bible says, for all things are naked before him. Hebrews chapter 3. All things are naked before him. Just as your heart. So you stand before God, and in your heart you are saying that God cannot, but just want to fulfill your religious purposes. You are there and say, oh, you are there. Right? God, give me the bridge so that I can be able to tell my mind to this man. Say, God have mercy. God have mercy. So we test God by desiring things and asking things for our life. And on top of it, we even doubt that he can do it. God will never answer to your last. And the moment you start that thing, that is the sign of unbelief. Number two, slow to believe. And this is as a result of our level of intellectualism.
it takes a long time to believe that something is real. Another characteristic of unbelief is slow to believe. He wants everything to be.
Oh, Jesus. Mark 7, verse 67. Mark 6. Mark 7, rather. 67. I've given you first one, testing God, right? The second one is what? Slow to believe. Can we read Mark chapter 7, verse 6?
He answered and said unto them, well, as Elias prophesied of you.
Okay, no. It's Luke 24. That's the third point. Luke 24. 25 and 26. Luke 24, sorry. Luke 24. 25 and 26. Luke 24, verse 25.
Then he said unto them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.
Give me 26.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Now, when Jesus has rose from dead and there were news around, there were people who still couldn't believe that it is true. And these were the two people on the way of what? Emmaus.
Jesus was with them. They were talking. From their conversation, it was obvious that they didn't believe what they were saying.
Slow to believe. Jesus said, oh, fools. Slow to believe.
See, when everything about the kingdom of God, you are too careful to believe. You are showing signs of the path of unbelief. Yes. You are too careful to believe. Too careful that God can heal. You are too careful to believe in miracle money. I've heard of world stuff that even believers can even say, oh, this one can be possible. Hey, is there anything to have for God? Slow to believe.
Some of you, what you have believed by doctrine, it took you an experience to believe. Hard experience, like Paul. You need Jesus to slap you on the horse. Slow to believe.
Some of you, God is calling you. That is it. This is what is happening in the church now. The person knows that this is where God wants me to be, but this is the church God wants me to be, but because of slow to believe, he is waiting for the slap of Jesus.
Say, God help us.
There are certain things God is asking you to do because you are slow to believe.
The kingdom of God and the business of God is it rises with urgency. God does not have time for you all. Said, oh, fools. He didn't know.
And it took them, I don't know, but God helped them. God helped their foolishness.
That they were able to hold Jesus and open their eyes. I pray for you. Whatever is blinding you, to be slow to believe in everything that is of the kingdom. May God help you. Let our eyes be opened. In the name of Jesus. I just want to quickly move on. And the third one is hypocrisy.
A sign that somebody is on the pathway of unbelief is hypocrisy.
That was the first scripture I gave you. Mark 7.
I've already read this scripture before.
Religious service.
You remember that? I've used this scripture before. That some people travel all the way from where they had to where meet Jesus to question on one thing. Why the disciples didn't wash their hands before eating bread?
These people. We are going to talk about them again today.
I still wonder. So what was that? you know what is happening today? Today's church.
You don't know. Do you know people are offended when they don't come out here as a woman?
It is of more offense to them that Mama Jio says that you go to hell.
See, those are not carrots. And they are not on the social media. They don't know what they're talking about. Hey, Mama Jio, all the way. You burn in hellfire.
Man of God, people are so concerned that salvation is because man has covered the head. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. It's a sign of unbelief. Let's see. Mark 6 and 7. Let's listen to Jesus' response there. Jesus, I will give you 3. He answered and said unto them, well, have Elias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honored me with their arms. When we talk of hypocrisy in the church kingdom, we are explaining it here. Don't be lost. Follow me on. What is a hypocrite? Said Elijah prophesied about you people that you come. There's a time of your manifestation. And this is all we're going to say. You prophesy. You profess of God, or you speak of God by your lips. Mediates for you with me. Hallelujah. Be with me. Okay. Thank you. But their heart is far from me. How did in vain do they worship me? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Unbelief. To acknowledge this empty church. It's a 12 o'clock darkness. Yeah. You're late. But when God desires your heart, you only know God on Sunday. Late worshipers. Praise the Lord. Do you have a witness here? If you are witness, repent in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Said, so they know me by their lips. They my heart. God, as for church, you can leave us, let us have our whole life. And after that, you tell them, small. Which of the heart are you talking about? Which of your heart? The Bible said that these are hypocrites who profess. In the book of Timothy, firstly, Paul said that they are people who are having the form of godliness, religious people, but you cannot see traces. Look at that. A nation of a population of Christians is more corrupt than a nation of Gentiles. The issue of Ghana is foundation, belief system. We have to be very careful what we claim. These are traits of unbelief. They were praying to God that he should give them manna, but in their hearts, they didn't believe God. May God help us. May God help us. That's what I said. At every instant, unbelief can take over. See, you have to be very careful. What I'm saying, I'm not an exemption, and you're not an exemption. Unbelief can take over because there's no vacuum in this system world. At every instant, something is free. You can doubt God in your mind, but don't let it translate into your heart. For the mind, it is allowed. For the heart is dangerous. He's talking about heart here. Oh, there are things that can help your mind. Say, but your heart tells you, he can do it. And he can do it. So our conviction is not because of what our mind is telling us, but it's what that comes out of the heart. I pray for you that your heart will be firm, will not wander, and will stay in the things of God. Look at what he said. How about in vain they do this in vain? You have to tell some people to stop going to church. They should stay home. Because they can use that period to rest or do business, it will help them. Because when you are a hypocrite, the Bible said in vain, you worship. Let me give you some causes. What lead to unbelief? That causes of unbelief. What is the time? Okay. I hope you are following. So I just outlined the characteristics of unbelief. But you have to begin to, when you see yourself, one of these things want to have expressed in your life, then you have to know that your belief system is weak. Something has attacked your belief system, and you need to quickly go and then be dealt with. You see, the believer always needs to be honest, fairness, service. That is the reason why you come to church. As you have exposed yourself to the word, and then the doses of the word has entered you, you come and then deliverance system, you minister deliverance to your system. That is service. So that you can be firm. Because it's number one, not understanding the word. It will be number one. Also. Do you remember what we did last week? Concerning the parable of the sower. Who are the first group of people that he mentioned? Those who heard the word, they didn't understand. There is nothing that generates unbelief that void of understanding. Why? Romans chapter 10. How can they believe unless they have heard? And how can they hear unless there is a preacher? For unto the heart one belief unto salvation. And by the mouth confessing is what? So if there is not understanding what you've heard, how can he hear it at the heart? And I told you, the reason why people are void of understanding is because of issue of foundation. Because wisdom is the foundation. And the structure is what? Understanding. When there is no wisdom, there can't be understanding. That's why I have to allow the wise master builder to build on you, to work on you. Wisdom is a personality. That's Jesus. That's why your Christian life, the foundation is Jesus. So that you can have understanding. You want to do everything now. Everything you do is in the name of God. Then not. Anything like that outside Jesus can produce an attack on your understanding. First, cause of unbelief. Not having understanding. You can write the scripture down. Before I did that already last week, Matthew chapter 3, verse 19. When you lack understanding, you walk in unbelief. You walk in it. Number two, ignoring your conscience. This is a dangerous one. How do people walk, or how do they do unbelief? How do they, when they ignore their own conscience? Matthew chapter 4, sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Let's see how people ignore their conscience. I'm talking about hardened hearts, how people have become hardened. And number one, when they don't have understanding, they have to have it. Number two, when they ignore their conscience, hardened hearts, unbelief. 1 Timothy 4, 2. Let's start from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, verse 2. Unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, unto Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Right, let's go to chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2, chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith. And you know that faith and belief, they are one. You know it, that you know faith and belief, they are one. They depart, so that becomes unbelief. Ha! Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in what? You see the characteristics of unbelief. Having their conscience was snared with God, a hot iron. How do the conscience of men get snared? When they consistently refuse to repent from their sins. When the believer has decided they are born in it, this is what I have decided to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The one you are giving, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Let's see something over here. Depart from belief and zeal to unbelief. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of pure heart and of good heart and of what? Faith. When the conscience of the believer is snared because you have decided. Let me show you something. You see, when you were not born again, I won't witness the house. There are certain things you do, you are very comfortable. Two of us. How many of us can? Oh, going to the park was not a problem. Listening to secular music was not a problem. You see how you could do those things like, you know, yeah. It's normal. When you became born again, when even when they come close to you, you begin to feel bad. How many of you explained that? Why is it yeah you? Yes, go to your own. And you already repent. How many of you have? And when that state of mind dies, that is where unbelief takes over. When you became born again, you went through the thing. That day you cried and you wept. It continued. And now you think it is a lifestyle. That's what happened. You see why we have the church. People have the effort to get pregnant and come before the altar and say they are blessed in marriage. Hey, their conscience has snared. People have the effort to wake up from their boyfriend's bed, bat the old microphone and be washing. The worst is my people, instrumentalist. And we just argue, man, yes, sir. In Nigeria, I'm meant to be. Oh, God, help us. Their conscience is like, they don't see it as wrong. On the prophets. But nothing praises conscience. Unbelief. That is all this unbelief. When you ignore your conscience, you are on the path of unbelief. The third one, when you ignore constant fellowship with the believers. One way for somebody to depart from the faith is to leave a church. Simple. Cut ties with all the Christian brothers and sisters. You know, fellowship with them. Then, the moment you have that, you are in that pathway, you are already on the pathway of unbelief. There's no two ways about it. Now, be very careful. What people have left, you see the wild things they are doing. I watch a status of one of the sisters who used to be in Norfolk Christ. And I see the things she was doing. She has been for camp for almost like 3 years, or maybe that. More than 3 years. There's nothing of Norfolk Christ you see every day. I said, why would you do this? Because you can't sit under the feet of that leader and these pastors and even think of doing them. The message that will come, it is as hot as two ages. It will deal with these things. You can't do them. When the devil wants you to walk in unbelief and test God, he makes sure that you can't. See, that silly statement, that excuse me, that silly statement, that I can pray in my room, God can answer. It is a word from the camp of pit of hell. Who is looking for you to send on the path of unbelief? God didn't know that you can pray alone in your room. God, he didn't know. And he says that there should be a fellowship of the brethren. Now, even Jesus, he had a church. Always with the disciples. You don't want to come in. Carry on. That Jesus you are following, he didn't walk alone. Now, even God, God is not alone. They are three in one. You want to be alone. Or in the name of, you can worship, God can hear you. Because you have no understanding of corporate and individual fellowship. God deals with corporate and individuals. Carry on. You think your individual anointing can deal with warfare? Even in the reality, physical world, no one person goes to war. Warfare is an army, but there is a leader. That's what the devil keeps on mafia with you every day. Because you think that you don't need a spiritual family. Who prays for you?
Who watches your back?
You go to work without anyone watching your back.
That's why you see this.
I'm a lone pastor. I am this. I don't make me and the ones who fall easily.
Who watches your back?
It will be very difficult to get you. There are 1,000 eyes watching my back. The moment you plan, I've heard it. They will tell me. How did David escape? Because Nathan was watching his back. When he messed, he said, hey, young man, you mess around. God says, you come and tell you to correct your mess. That who is watching over you? You think you don't need the fellowship of the believers? It's the life of the pit of hell. And it's a silly decision to take. He says, that's going to lead you to unbelief. Finally, what's the time? Okay, we'll close. I should close, right?
Yes.
I should close. The one who came to church late is asking me to close. What the hell about that church? They want me to start with you. You see unbelief at work. I'm coming to mention your point now. Hallelujah. The last point of the cause of unbelief is when you pursue the act of God but not interested in his mission. Ministry over fellowship. You are interested in miracles, prophecy. That is what you want. Can you see the generation? I don't know if you can see the picture of what's happening today. The reason why we have this whole big foundation is these are the things. The average believer will go to a church where there's so much prophecy. The average believer will go to a church where miracles. The reason why all these people, charlatans, are thriving is because our unbelief. We are interested in acts. Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Jeremiah, you will be share. Share. Will be share. Let me finalize. What will happen to you when you have a hardened heart? Number one, you will go astray. I will deal with these things next week before I handle the second part, error. And that one is even dangerous. Error. False belief. Hush! This one, Granny, is better. False belief is wild. A man instituted it and it became a doctrine. That was called Balaam. The error of Balaam, the madness of Balaam, became a doctrine in Revelation. Error. And you see why we have all these funny churches around. You understand this? Why we have all these funny churches, funny doctrines, all in the name of Christ. It's false belief that led them to that path. When there is no belief, something will surely occupy. Number two, deception. You go astray. I've already given you a scripture on that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Said they departed and they went astray. Deception. You will be deceived. You see, that is why the people believe that. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, let me tell you, the thing is not everybody too much of a hero. You are on your own. You are on your own. Don't be deceived. Not everybody is fornicating like that, you know. You are on your own. Not everybody is doing that wickedness in the church. Who will go to church with one city of you're on your own. The pastor will drop your money. You're on your own. You're on your own. It's not all of us. Don't be that deception. Oh, yes. People think that when they go to church and they give offering, they are giving to pastor. Yes. So one city, 50 pesos. Think everybody is giving that. No. You're on your own. That's what Paul said. Let everybody work out his own salvation. He said, let us work it together. You're on your own. So you are deceived, you're on your own. Nobody's with you. Number three, you cannot hear the voice of God. Now you have already been parted from the way. How can you even hear you? And nobody is told you are off. You can't hear the voice of God. I'm giving you a minute, right? Last one. Unbelief will block your miracles. You remember the first scripture we read? The Bible said Jesus marveled and couldn't do a miracle as he did in other places because of what? Many believers are in this kind of state they are because of unbelief. Today we are going to pray. We are going to pray. And our prayer is that Lord help our unbelief. The man cried and said, Jesus, I believe, I help my unbelief. The African believer believes that if he doesn't pay right, he can't get a job opportunity. We have beefed. Our system is so weak, the foundation of the world is so weak that everything they do, they must follow the things of the world to succeed. Today, God will heal us. Today, God will heal us. Give me my scripture, the last verse. What I fear is to miss my inheritance. And today, I don't pray. Any inheritance we have missed because of unbelief, may mercy speak. Let mercy speak. Let's read them. You take me back to the First Timothy chapter 1. I'll let you know what you want. So God swore an oath that they will never enter into his calming place of rest. The only thing that God never gave rest in terms of creation was demons. But today we have found out that people with unbelief, they have also been allocated a spirit of unrest. You can't rest. And then the wise person said, it is clear that they could not enter into your own inheritance, not as somebody's own, your own, because they ran their heart in unbelief. And give a lack of desire. You want to pray the prayer of God? Mercy will suit you. Can you hear the prayer? Mercy will suit you. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Give me the verse 30. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained what? That if you read Hebrews chapter 4, which is the continuation of Hebrews chapter 3, talking about unbelief, he says that therefore let us come boldly unto the throne room of grace, that we may find grace and obtain what? Who fell last? Can you lift up your hand? Lord, anything we have done on the verdict of unbelief, mercy. If we have done something because of unbelief and it is going to hinder us from entering into our inheritance, oh Mama Masai, or it's going to stop us from becoming like a Messiah to rest. Mercy. Paul said, God, I obtain mercy. God can still do it for you. I obtain mercy. Somebody has to obtain mercy today. We go Barasaya, Kabino Barasaya. We have to come to the throne of grace. The only way we can cure unbelief is that we obtain mercy. And the only way we can cure the result, the act of unbelief. The only way we can avert and turn around things you have done in unbelief is that we obtain mercy. Or even those who are not born again. As an act of unbelief, the only way it can work for them is that there's an act of mercy, oh Messiah, in place of judgment, there is mercy. That no matter can be a sire, any judgment that is pursuing our life, any judgment that we are connected to, as an act of unbelief, oh God have mercy, oh God have mercy. In open like Messiah, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. The real no shelter. We pray for mercy. We have done many things in unbelief. But God, we come to you, we plead mercy. You gave Paul the chance to obtain mercy, even though he was a persecutor and a blasphemer. He people, even though he was injured to the body of Christ, but Lord, he had mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us and have mercy on the church. Have mercy on the body of Christ. Anybody, whether being born again or not, in an act of unbelief, mercy. 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 That we will not be denied our inheritance. And that we will not be denied rest. For in you there is rest for the wandering soul. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.